Yo, welcome back, Gem listeners. This is The Hot Seat. I am your host, EJ Russell. And this is this week's edition of The Hot Seat. Missed out last week, but we're here. We're back. We're ready to go. The Hot Seat is sponsored by Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch a game in Escanaba. Best pub in Escanaba. Back open for in-person dining, 25% capacity, but bars open, tables are open, restaurants open. It's good to see people back in there. The Hot Seat is also sponsored by SoRight. That's PSO-RITE.com. The SoRight is a unique U-shaped fitness product, perfect for stretching and recovery. It is an absolutely fantastic fitness tool invented by my friend Mac Mollenhan. Check him out at SoRight.com. That's PSO-RITE.com. And if you use code GEM10, you get an additional 10% off your order. That's PSO-RITE.com. That's SoRight.com. Use code GEM10 for an additional 10% off. Like I said, this is The Hot Seat. With me, as always, is my co-host. He is Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E. Co-host, contributor, all-around good guy, Tyler Ouellette. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, EJ? Good to be back. Like you said, missed last week. Couldn't get together, but it's whatever. We're here, this week and ready to bring a good show. Talk about some sports.
Well, I think it's been kind of a quiet week, so I don't know how many gripes and groans we're really going to have this week, but Tyler, I'll let you go first because it's been kind of a quiet week in sports. What's on your hot seat?
Oh, yeah. After the week after the Super Bowl is always like kind of calm, you know, but, the Milwaukee Bucks are on my hot seat, EJ. They have been really not very good. I'm not a huge fan of Giannis to begin with. I don't think he's a superstar that they can win around. Like, I think they need to bring another superstar in with him. Like, Middleton and Drew Holiday aren't going to cut it. Bucks have lost their last five games. They're 16-13. They just lost two straight home games to the Raptors, and the Raptors have not been that great this year. They are without Drew Holiday, like, recently, but still, like, yeah, they lost to the Thunder. I mean, the Thunder, I'm a Thunder fan, like, straight up Thunder fan, and they're not good this year. Bucks have been struggling, 16-13. That's still, like, third in the East, because the East is just horrible this year. The Bucks roster, I mean, they have Middleton, Giannis, and then they have players, like, they do have Drew Holiday, which is a good addition, but he has been out. Brooke Lopez, DiVincenzo from Villanova, who lit up Michigan that one year. Like, that's your, you can't win a championship with those, like, supporting players, I don't think. And then, like, Torrey Craig, DJ Augustine. Augustine's putting up 25 minutes for that team. DJ Augustine, he's like 15th year, but, like, that's just not going to do it. So I just don't like how the.
Where'd he go, Duke? Augustine's a Duke guy?
Texas. He played with KD at Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, that's how old he is. So I don't like their direction they're going in, and Giannis just re-signed, like, for, like, 5 years, 6 years, the max or whatever it was. So he's locked in there. They need another big player, and with all that money going to him, it's going to be hard for it to happen. So the Bucks are on my hot seat, EJ.
That was the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard, that Giannis is not the kind of player that you can't win around. I disagree with you on that point. Giannis is absolutely one of the best talents in this league. With his size, his length, and his athleticism, he's the kind of player that when you look at him on paper, he checks a lot of the same boxes as a LeBron James and as a Kevin Durant, okay?
He can't shoot free throws or threes, which is huge in the NBA now, which is why I think they need a superstar.
No, he's still an MVP, okay? He's still the absolute most important piece on that Bucks team.
Oh, 100%.
I'll give you that they need to get some better tools around him. You know, Drew Holiday is an excellent addition. Where they bring him up from New Orleans last year,
traded for him this year. Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big Drew Holiday guy. I think he's an excellent piece, excellent teammate. But they do need to get some other teams. I don't know that Chris Middleton is that, like, third level star that's going to be the guy that gets you there. But I think to say that Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that's how you say it.
I can't say his last name. Wait,
Antetokounmpo. It's not that hard. Giannis is 100% the most important piece on that team and 100% the guy that should be in the place there in Milwaukee. So I'll give you a second to try to touch up on this, but I absolutely do not agree with you that Giannis is the reason that they're not good. They have an easy lineup, okay? They got figured out from last year. Last year they had a great year. This year, guess what? People got them figured out a little bit more, and it's not the same team. They brought in other pieces, so.
Yeah, I think he is the most important piece. I just think So, okay, he can be the superstar, but you need a better superstar beside Middleton's not a superstar. He's been an all-star a couple of years. I just don't think he's – they need someone like more of a top 10 range, top 15 with him so they can do – you know what I mean? Because they've had Middleton and Giannis for how many years now, and they just haven't been able to do anything in the playoffs. They have these great regular seasons, and let's see the next 5 years when he's there, see if something happens. But I just don't see it happening. This year has kind of been a slow start, but we'll see what happens.
I mean, I wouldn't mind
them doing great. Like, it's the Bucks; they're close to home, but I don't know. I just don't think it could happen.
Well, I'll give you my hot seat this week, and I don't know that I have another after this, and it's got to be the Houston Texans. Like, mm-hmm. if I have to hear one more thing about Deshaun Watson wanting to get traded, and you're refusing to, like, if why would you refuse to trade him? And I get that you want to keep a guy like this because finding a quarterback this good is incredibly difficult to do in this league. But if he came out and said, I absolutely want nothing to do with this organization, and your top star, who's a Walter Payton Man of the Year, and J.J. Watt just requested his release, you're obviously not doing some things right, and you should move on from Deshaun Watson and try to get some pieces. There are teams like Carolina Panthers who are dying to look at a guy like Deshaun Watson. I think Teddy Bridgewater is better than Carolina obviously thinks that he does. I'm a big Teddy Bridgewater fan. You know, the guy's done nothing but win games since he came into the league and really just had a difficult time dealing with injury. But, Houston, what are you doing? J.J. Watt just got let go. Deshaun wants to go. And now you're standing there on your high horse and saying, nope, we're going to keep him. This is just stupid. You got to move on from Deshaun Watson because you're screwing up this franchise left and right. Pretty soon, nobody's going to want to be there.
I completely agree with you, EJ, 100%. They're probably the worst-run organization going on. Like, everything that comes through the news lately with the Texans is just
Are they worse around than the Lions?
At this moment, right now, yes. Not the history of the they haven't been a team for that long, but right now the Lions are doing things better than they are. Like, coaching-wise, everything, players. It's just – I don't know. They need to not get rid of him. That's hard to say. They need to trade him for picks because he does not want to – he probably won't play. He'll sit out. Why would he play for the team that doesn't – he has no respect for this team. They literally let go a training staff. Do you see that? Like a equipment manager that he loved. Like all the players, they just let that manager go for no reason, pretty much. Like they're trying to piss him off, it seems like. It's just like comical to what's going on in Houston. I don't get it. They're trying to do everything like the wrong way. On purpose.
I can't name a time where I've seen a player treated this blatantly disrespectful. Like
he's a top 10 quarterback, maybe top 5 in the league, I think.
I struggle to say top 5.
Top 10.
Because his potential is that of a top 5, if not top 3. However, he hasn't done it yet. Like his
numbers
are
good. He's also
been
in Houston.
Right, and I'm not saying he's not good. I like Deshaun Watson. I think he's an incredible talent. I think he's I think he has the potential to be better than a Russell Wilson. I think that he's a taller, better version of Russell Wilson. But with the pieces that he has around him, he's having a really hard time. I think Russell Wilson's done a better job making his team good with the pieces that he's had because he hasn't always had the best pieces. Like, look at his wide receiver core until DK Metcalf. They really didn't have anybody in Seattle there, you know. Whereas Houston, they've had some pieces on paper that look pretty decent, and Deshaun still isn't putting that together. And I think a lot of that falls on the defense there. Underperforming, J.J. Watt having injuries, and just overall Houston clearly not being a good organization. I hope that they move on from Deshaun. I hope he gets an opportunity to go where he wants to go, and that's how I feel about that. But Houston Texans, figure it out. You're having a real hard time right now.
All right, so that's probably enough for the hot seat. Like you said, slow week. Let's move into some NFL talk. Going off the Texans, we were talking about J.J. Watt. Where is J.J. Watt going to end up? Because there's a lot of teams that obviously have already talked to him. There's about like 10 to 11 teams that are in serious contention for this all-pro player, defensive end, J.J. Watt. EJ, what do you think? Where do you think he's going to go? And what do you think is the best fit? You know, what do you think?
Man, this is a tough question. I was really surprised to hear that my Browns are serious.
I saw that. They're very serious. Yeah.
And I think that would be a wonderful fit. A little bit of bias here, but boy, would that be nice to get him on the same line as Myles Garrett. Holy cow. That'd be incredible, and you wouldn't have to worry about the defensive line for a few years, barring injuries. But I think if you plug in J.J. Watt and the pieces that we already have there on the defensive line, I think the Browns make a lot of sense. I think the team that makes the most, absolute most sense to him is the Pittsburgh Steelers. But they're going to have some issues with the cap, which makes bringing J.J. Watt in incredibly tough. You know, another team that makes a lot of sense to me is the Green Bay Packers. They just moved Christian Kirksey.
Wagner to
get some cap space. So it looks like they might be making a play for J.J. Watt. And this is a team that's a few years removed from really having a guy on the defensive line that you're talking about, like a B.J. Raji or Mike Daniels or Julius Peppers. The talent that they have had on that line. It's been a while since you've seen a name like that. So I think it makes a lot of sense to go to Green Bay. I think he makes them an instant Super Bowl favorite if he goes to Green Bay because they did have such a good year this year. I think that their defense was the piece that needed a little bit more improvement. So I think if J.J. Watt goes to Green Bay, which would make a whole lot of sense, he's a Wisconsin kid. I know he played a little bit of football there. He was at Central for a little bit too. J.J. Watt to the Packers makes a whole lot of sense to me. I'm biased. I want to see him come to my Browns. The Pittsburgh makes a lot of sense because the two of his brothers are there, and I think he's just going to be a plug-and-play guy on that defense. You can put him right in there, and the steel curtain is going to be back, you know. So that's what I think. J.J. Watt, Cleveland, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking Green Bay the whole time, just the Wisconsin thing. His parents still live in Wisconsin, which is a huge thing. I mean, his options for the family ties, like you said, his brothers, both of them are at Pittsburgh. So that's a bit of a recruiting tool right there, I'd say, for the Steelers. I just know that whoever gets this guy it's an instant upgrade. And like, especially like the Packers, like that's huge. Their defense was a little bit of a struggle. It was more of their DBs, I would say, but it would still be a huge upgrade. I think the Bills have a good chance too. I noticed that they were up there. That would be something too. The Browns, that would be with Garrett. Yeah, that would be crazy. But I would love to see TJ and JJ play together on the same defense. I think that would be unreal. That would be the best brother duo together, like on the same team.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's that?
It was a Watt pun. I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought you said why you're talking so loud.
No.
And I was confused.
Well, there you go. Pun goes right over his head. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, this is definitely, I feel like it's going to get figured out pretty soon too. I think Watt's, it's probably going to be for the draft because I know there's a certain time for free agents, but if you get cut, you can sign whenever. So like he's eligible to sign with the team whenever. This all goes back to the Texans just being horrible in their organization. So one of the best defensive players ever is out there and has a couple, definitely, how many more years do you think? 2 to 4 more years, like quality years, you know. I mean, he's been hurt a lot, but
one or two more contracts.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, he could sign with a team that's a Super Bowl favorite right now, or in he wants that ring by now. So it'll be interesting. But, yeah, more NFL news. Another big trade, that quarterback trade.
Uh-oh.
Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz has been traded to the Colts. Colts find their quarterback after missing out on Matthew Stafford. That's a big move, and they didn't trade a lot. It was only 2 picks, the second and third round, I believe. What do you think about that, EJ? I mean, it's definitely a downgrade from Stafford. That's what I think. That Stafford would have been much of an upgrade there. But Colts find a guy. They find a guy. So what do you think on that?
I have mixed feelings on Carson Wentz. Because he has at times looked like an MVP. He has at times looked like, you know, he's barely worth a P. it's a tough one. I think that if you're the Colts, you got a steal here for 2 picks because Wentz got paid a whole lot of money. And I think value-wise, you know, dollars for picks, that this is a good trade. I just don't know how I feel about Carson Wentz yet. However, he's reunited with Frank Reich. I think that's going to be good for him there. Reich was on the staff when Carson Wentz was playing at his best. So I think it can be good. I think, you know, sometimes when you're in a situation like Carson Wentz is in Philadelphia where, for whatever reason, and I don't think he will be a great NFL quarterback, people are calling for Jalen Hurts to come in and be the guy.
I don't know.
They're six in the draft, I think, so they can go quarterback if they want there.
Well, and then that's what I'm going to get into in a second is this draft class. But I think that for Indianapolis, you know, sometimes new place, new face, it can make a big difference here. And I think that if Carson Wentz is going to refine success, I hope that it's with Frank Reich. I think this can be a great move for both organizations, for both the Colts and for Carson Wentz. Again, great value, dollars for assets-wise. I think the Colts did a nice job of moving on from Phillip Rivers, which you knew was a Band-Aid, and missing out on Matthew Stafford. I think this is a nice move for the Colts.
And, like the Colts are – they're a playoff team. Like, literally all-around playoff team. Defense.
They made the playoffs.
They did. With Rivers. So, like, the quarterback isn't, like – that's – you need an elite quarterback for them to, like, win a Super Bowl. Because, like, they almost beat the Bills. They played a very close game. Their offense is very good. New running back, Jonathan Taylor, was spectacular as a rookie. So, like,
defense is not bad.
Exactly. So, like, that's a great organization. And, like, the quarterback was just the thing. And if Carson Wentz can kind of rejuvenate his career, it would almost be like a Goff situation. You know, they both got traded, both in the same draft class. They were 1 and 2, weren't they, that year? Or they were top five, in the same draft class. So they're both getting traded.
They were both right up there.
Yeah, it's like a similar situation for both of them. Obviously, Wentz is going into a much better situation, like, talent-wise than Goff is. And I think Wentz is more of a future project for the Colts than Goff will be for the Lions. But, like, It's a cool comparison to see how these two quarterbacks turn out after both having super good success in the playoffs. I mean, well, Wentz was hurt, but won the Super Bowl, their team did, and Goff made it to the Super Bowl, and then they kind of went down after that. So it's going to be cool to see what happens here, EJ.
I think the bad thing for Wentz here, though, is that he moves out of the NFC East.
That does not help him.
Trash.
Yeah,
that does not help. Absolute trash.
I mean, this
so
division.
Now you're going against, Tennessee. What, Tannehill?
And maybe Watson.
Maybe Watson.
And then Trevor Lawrence.
He's coming into an okay spot because Jacksonville doesn't look like they're going to be anything soon.
Trevor Lawrence.
Tennessee, they look like they're going to be tough for a couple years here.
For sure.
Credit Mike Vrabel, and I think he's been absolutely the most important piece to their turnaround besides Derrick Henry, but Vrabel, most importantly. Houston, who knows what's going on there? I mean, he's walking out of a tough situation, or an easy division, and he's walking into it. Not so bad, but I would have rather, you know, if I was him, I'd be like, shoot, I wish I could have kind of stayed here for a few years. These guys suck.
The worst division of football is probably still going to be. Well, Dak's going to come back, so maybe, I think Dak will. I don't know if he's going to recover from that injury. Hope he recovers for Dallas. I mean, Dallas's defense is horrible, though, so, yeah, you're right. He's going into a definitely, it's not a huge upgrade, like, difficulty-wise, but it still is, because that's how bad the NFC East is, you know? So,
well,
like,
and let's look at some of these teams that are struggling in both of those divisions right now that are in needs of quarterbacks, okay? And this is what I want to get into in the NFL. We got an interesting quarterback draft class, okay?
Very.
Who do you think is going to be the best guy here? You know, it looks like Trevor Lawrence is going to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what
100%
says. 100%. Who do you think is going to go where on this top five picks? Like, and who's your favorite guy? Who do you think is going to have the most success?
I like Zach Wilson still a lot. I wanted the Lions to take him before the Stafford trade. Now they still might take a quarterback, but it's up in the air. Zach Wilson out of BYU. I think he's a stud. Watch him quite a bit, actually, because BYU is pretty good this year. I think he just has a swagger to him that the confidence is key in the NFL. Obviously, you can't be afraid of anything as an NFL quarterback, and I think he has that. I really don't know a lot about Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. He's up there top three or four. He's going to be like a top 15 pick. I've seen him go to the Lions in mock drafts, and so I have to do more research on him. I really don't know a lot about him. I mean, all they do is win in North Dakota State. Obviously, Carson Wentz was there, and we just talked about him. But Justin Fields is an interesting prospect. Very interesting. You're Ohio State Buckeye. I have nothing against him. I hope he does well. It's just going to be – a lot of people are thinking he's going to be a bust just because he's that quarterback that can run, you know, and he's not like a normal pocket. And a lot of people think those quarterbacks – a lot of them do become busts. They have, like, RG3. I mean, he had a great couple years, gets hurt, everything goes down. You know, it's just Then Mac Jones is going to be at the end of the first round from Bama. Those two, you know, Mac Jones is not bad either, and he's more of a pocket quarterback. So this class is loaded, EJ, and there's going to be three or four in the top 10. Probably definitely three, Lawrence, Wilson, and Fields. So it's up to these. It's just going to be interesting. I think the Falcons are going to take one at four. They're either going to take Wilson or Fields. They're going to be done with Matt Ryan. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. So what you got?
Oh, first of all, I said this on the Monday night ESPN 1400 edition of the Game Sports Show. I believe Trevor Lawrence is going to be a bust. And I think that – I hope that Urban Meyer is a smart enough coach, and I don't think he should have went to the NFL. Okay, and that's my take there. I think he should have stayed retired or stayed in the college realm. I think he should take Justin Fields at number one. It's a guy that understands the way that Urban Meyer and his teams think. It's a coach that could bring in a quarterback that absolutely knows what he's going to do with a guy like that in a league that's trying to become more quarterback variant. I'll say, or have more quarterbacks with variable talents where they can move out of the pocket. You know, you said that these running quarterbacks don't work. Excuse me, Lamar Jackson just went to playoffs.
No, I don't say they don't. There's a lot that happened, though. There is.
Russell Wilson was the kind of guy that were like, oh, who's going to know what he's going to look like running around? Deshaun Watson, who's going to know what he's looking like running around? Lamar Jackson, who's going to know what he's looking like running around? Well, guess what? They're all running around the league right now looking pretty damn good. Every one of them.
Every Ohio State quarterback that runs around hasn't been a Braxton Miller, Cardell Jones. Like, there's a lot that just happens.
Braxton Miller was not a quarterback. He was an athlete.
That's what I'm saying. One of those quarterbacks. Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins, I believe, was a great thrower, but I don't believe was the smartest of players. Cardale Jones, I'm not putting anything there.
Terrell Pryor.
You know, Terrell Pryor had a better career as a professional as a wide receiver.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Right. But here's what I'm getting at with Justin Fields. I think that Justin Fields.
Oh, he's better than all of them. He is.
Correct.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Actually, the best one out of all of them was JT Barrett, but JT Barrett didn't have the best arm. JT Barrett was the best quarterback, the best leader, the best overall talent that the Buckeyes have had in a long time.
Did he even get drafted? I'm not even kidding.
I think he got picked up, and then
that was a quick one. Yeah,
yeah, but nobody thought anything was going to happen with him as a pro. But I think Justin Fields is a better version of that, and I think the two places that make the most sense for Justin Fields, one is. I think it would be really nice to see him go to Jacksonville and be reunited with Urban Meyer, a kid that never really played for Meyer, but can go and play for a coach whose system he just came out of. Because Ryan Day is very much just keeping that Urban Meyer feel to the Buckeyes. The other place I think would make a lot of sense is Carolina for him. But the quarterback for me that interests me the most is Zach Wilson. This is a kid coming out of BYU. Might be the best quarterback out of BYU that we've seen since Steve Young. And he has a lot of those, you know, measurable things, the height, 6'3", he's 203 pounds. You know, he just won a bunch of games at BYU last year. He's the most intriguing piece to me. I think he makes a lot of sense for Atlanta. I also think that he could make a lot of sense, either him or Mac Jones, to go to New England. I think that would be a nice landing spot for either of those guys. But I don't see
Wilson.
New England taking a quarterback that high.
Wilson's not going to fall down.
You don't like Wilson?
No, I love Wilson. I'm saying he's not going to fall to New England at 15.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They could take Mac Jones at. I think he would fall to one. But
Mac Jones is a piece to me that I really have the biggest question mark on. You know, I think the best quarterback to come out of Alabama as of late was.
They really don't have.
A.J. McCarron. And he backed up in Cincinnati for a little bit.
Yeah.
They haven't had any great pro quarterbacks in a long time. So I don't know where.
Kind of. Tua. Tua, you can't tell yet.
Tua, you can put in there, but Tua is the best Alabama quarterback that people have seen in a long time. You know, yeah. He's that first Alabama team that the team wasn't focused around a running back putting the ball down your throat. It was Tua putting the ball down your throat. So, Mac Jones, I don't think will. Have a long career. I think he does make sense to go to a team like New England or something like that. But I'd like to see Zach Wilson find a way to get to New England. That's just, I feel like Belichick and him could make that work. But Justin Fields is the piece to me that I'm most interested in. He's the horse that I'm willing to bet on here. Out of the top three guys, and I'm putting your top three as Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson. Okay. I think out of those three guys, I'd put my money on Justin Fields.
I would like to see him in Atlanta. I think that would be electric with Julio and Calvin Ridley on the outside. I think
come back and be like a Michael Vick light.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I think that's what on the turf and the dome. I think that would be electric if he was there. I mean,
make him wear number seven.
He was at Georgia at one point. Go back to Georgia. It'd be poetic. But it's like Joey Burrow. He was in Ohio, went to LSU, comes back to Cincinnati. So this quarterback class is loaded. I mean, actually, though, like after Mac Jones, like after the first round, there's only going to be a couple more picks. It's kind of weird how like top heavy it is. It kind of drops off a lot. There's quarterback from Florida, Kyle Trask, who's going to get picked in the later rounds. Maybe Texas A&M, Kellen Mons. There's a couple other guys, but like, who knows? Maybe those guys end up being the best. It's so unpredictable. Like so much goes into the NFL draft. It's this whole event, and there's just still so many wrong picks. Like, and it's just so hard. You know, you just got to get luck. Like Mahomes, like he wasn't picked top 10. You know, he's like 13th or 14th. Now he's the best quarterback. Might be the best one ever, but times it done. So like, I don't know. I think the Lions. I'm gonna go back to them. They could still take a quarterback in the first round. They could be that guy. You know, I mean, they have Goff now, but Goff could be that band-aid. He could train in a quarterback or whatever, or there's so many options they could go. I would also love them to take a receiver at seven. Their whole receiver room is probably gone. Marvin Jones is for sure. Galladay, most likely gone. So there's Jamar Chase from LSU or Heisman winner Devontae Smith, who will probably drop to seven. The Eagles were going to take a receiver for sure until he did this, and now they're probably going to take the quarterback. So many questions, and we have a couple months before the draft, but I'm excited for the draft. One of my favorite things as a Lions fan, sure for you too, as a Browns.
Not anymore,
but it's a very exciting day. It's a very exciting day for fans like us. So.
The draft is fun. I
want to go to one really bad. I was just telling people at work.
We should go to one.
I would love to go to an NFL draft. We can't, well, now it's all COVID and stuff, but like.
And boo it, Goodell.
Yeah, it would be great. Great time.
I just want to go do that.
Yeah,
let's get, what we should do is, we were talking about this before, we should go get those Barstool Goodell clown shirts and go to the draft.
I'm sure a lot of people.
We'll
do
sit
that.
In that one section. We'll make sure, be like, hey, we want to sit where the Lions and the Browns stand next to each other so we can boo Goodell for both teams. But hey, let's get out of pro football, Super Bowl, do you want to touch on the Super Bowl briefly?
A little bit, because we couldn't last week.
I'm not surprised that the Buccaneers won. I'm surprised they won as big as they did. But I credit that to, and I'm just going to go with this. I credit a lot of that to the fact that Patrick Mahomes got his bell rung the week before. I don't think that he was, and this is hard to say, I don't know that he was stepping into as many plays as he should have. However, Patrick Mahomes played an absolutely fantastic game and absolutely was not the reason that the Kansas City Chiefs lost. I mean, there were at least three throws in that game that Patrick Mahomes made that when he made them, my hands went on top of my head like this, Tyler, as you're looking at me, right? And I'm doing the scorpion thing up here, the surrender scorpion. My hands go on my head, and I go, oh, my God, I can't believe he made that throw. And then he almost connects on every one of them. And Patrick Mahomes was not the reason that the Chiefs lost. Their defense was. But thumbs up, Tom Brady. I'm about done harassing you here. You pretty much just shut me up.
No, yeah,
Sue gets a ring.
Sue. I agree with the whole Mahomes. There was a couple, like, he was falling down, making a dime. They just dropped it, and there's that.
The one, he was, the one of the Tyler, corner. I'm holding my pen in my hand here. This is a guy standing upright. Okay, yeah, you're laughing. This is a guy standing upright. Patrick Mahomes was like this. This is his head, right? Falling out sideways, going towards, it was the lower sideline on your TV screen. The ball was going left to right. And he was about laying sideways with his head to the right of the screen. Almost like 90 degrees left, parallel to the field, and slings the ball, and it hits a player in the face mask. He didn't miss the throw. The player missed the catch. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he made some unreal. And the biggest thing, in my opinion, was the Chiefs' offensive line was just injured. You know, they didn't have Fisher. They didn't have another. They had, like, real three starters. And that's why I was so confused before this game, the betting line, like how it was still – it should have been more of just a pick'em game, even odds, but the Chiefs are a 3-point favorite, and I bet on the Bucks. I think you did too, and I made some good money on Tampa Bay. It was not even close, and like the whole thing was the line. Like Tampa's defensive line, I said this before, was probably, like, in the playoffs, the best defensive line there was. Their whole defense was. And, like, the Chiefs, without three, it just wasn't fair for them. And Mahomes did his best to scramble and get out of things, but it just, at the end, how about Gronkowski? Okay? Two touchdowns in the Super Bowl appearance coming back. Unreal.
Two teddies?
Oh, man. That was AB had a touchdown. Just unreal. All these guys coming back. It was
first,
like, poetic.
First time in Super Bowl history that every point scored by a team, each player was not on the team the year before. That was a fun fact about the Super Bowl. Every player that scored a touchdown for Tampa Bay was not on the roster.
It was Fournette, too. Yeah, Fournette.
Fournette, AB, and Gronk.
Oh, wow. That's insane. And that,
and TB12.
Well, Brady, yeah. This also a fun fact. I think this is the first game ever Mahomes ever played high school, college, or NFL. He did not score a touchdown. And it was in the damn Super Bowl.
Yes, I think that's right.
That is insane. Like, unreal.
I don't know about high school, but no, definitely the pro.
Yeah, high school too. I saw, and then I think that was like dead ass. But,
so let's. I know we could do this all day, but you're on some time constraints tonight. So let's go real quick. Let's touch on the NBA. I got one question for you, and that's at the Brooklyn. And here's what I'm going to get to with my question. I'm going to lead into it. Holy cow! But before I lead into it. Let me remind our listeners that this show is sponsored by SoRite.com. That's PSO-RITE.com. Check them out. Unique U-shaped fitness product, great for stretching and recovery. I have one in my house. I'm holding it right here. I'll probably be using it in a little bit because my back's a little tight tonight. But check it out. It's designed to stretch out your psoas muscle, which is in your core, a very difficult to stretch muscle. Check them out. I've gotten a kit sent to my buddy. His wife's a chiropractor. I got them one. They love it. They use it every time they go. So it's sworn on by medical professionals, too. That's PSO-RITE.com, so-rite.com. Don't forget, use code GEM10 to get an additional 10% off your order. PSO-RITE.com, use code GEM10, GEM10, for an additional 10% off. Okay, there's the plug real quick. Now we'll jump back into the NBA, okay? And the Brooklyn Nets took down the Los Angeles Lakers the other night without Kevin Durant. Is this a potential finals matchup? Do you see this being the finals matchup? You still have the Philadelphia 76ers sitting on top of the division at 19-10. The Utah Jazz are top the Western Conference at 24-5. Lake Show a couple games back. Clippers sitting a little bit behind them. And then the Trailblazers still making some noise at 18-10. The East a little bit more quiet.
He's not that good at all.
You got Philly, the Nets, and the Bucks really kind of the teams that are competing there. Don't count out the Toronto Raptors, Kane. I do want to, this is something I wanted to say when you mentioned Giannis earlier. You're like, oh, he doesn't have that many great players around him. Everybody said that about Kawhi when he went to Toronto and they ended up winning a ring. And Fred VanVleet became one of the best names in your household now. So, what do you got here? What can Brooklyn and LA meet back up in the finals? Is that something that you see happening again? And with Kevin Durant coming back, how do the Lakers beat him? I know Anthony Davis is out too, but whoo.
No, it's 100% Brooklyn out of the East. And I said this before Harden got traded there. Like, and the huge thing is with the Nets right now is, so you have these three top 10 players on your roster, like straight up. And Harden and, Kyrie are both guards. KD's more of a forward. Someone had to be like that point guard though and not, you know what I mean? And Harden has done that. James Harden has pretty much said like, all right, I'm gonna shoot still, but they're not nearly as, he's averaging like over 10 assists since he's been with the Nets, which is just insane. And that's the key piece is James Harden has like stepped up pretty much and said like, yeah, I'm coming in, but I'm not gonna, cause there's no way all three of them can play how they usually play on different teams, you know? So if James Harden continues to play like that, which he's going to, there's no way this team's not making the finals. They're all playoff experience. KD has won a ring. Kyrie's won a ring. Harden is not yet. And that's, I think, a huge reason why he's doing this. He needs that ring. You know, he's been an accomplished player. It's definitely Brooklyn or the East. Like I already talked about the Bucks earlier. 76ers, Embiid is playing at an MVP type level. I just think Simmons, it's tough with him not being able to shoot. For him to be, he's still a great player. I'm on my fantasy team. I love watching him play, but in the playoffs, it's going to be difficult because you can key in on him not being able to shoot the ball. And they tried to give him shooters like Seth Curry and whatnot, and it's worked, but still. out of the West, Utah has been surprising. Best record in the league by far, 24-5. Mitchell and Gobert have been playing unreal. I still think it's the Lakers out of the West. I would even put the Clippers above the Jazz, when it comes to playoff time, just because of Paul George and Kawhi. It's going to be either one of the LA teams against Brooklyn, in my honest opinion. And I would love to see like a Phoenix team with Chris Paul, D-Book, who have been playing really well this year. That would be awesome to see. They're going to win a series, I think, this year for the first time in a while for Phoenix. But, yeah, it's going to be Brooklyn and one of the LA teams. I would probably go Lakers. With AD back, so, it's definitely one of, yeah.
I'll ask you this, because this I actually am curious to get your take on. I love Damian Lillard and what's going on out west in Portland. I really do just like that team. Do you think, I know that they're sitting for, they're 18-10. You got the Suns, who you just mentioned, 17-10. Is Portland good enough to make a run at the finals? Can they beat a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz even?
Honestly, I wouldn't say finals, but they'll definitely find a way. They'll win this is like my little prediction. Like, they'll win their first round matchup, then they'll run into a really good team like one of those three, and they'll make it interesting, I think. I think Dame Lillard's one of the best players in the league that's just not talked about. He is talked about, but you know what I mean. Like, he's not like up there like he should be. CJ McCollum has been out. They've won six straight without McCollum. And this is all Dame. The whole thing has been Damian Lillard. And he's averaging the triple doubles like the last 4 to 5 games. Just unreal. And the thing is with their roster though, Carmelo has been playing really well too. He's been a great addition, like low key for the Portland Trail Blazers. I would love to see them take down like a LA team. I don't see it. And I don't know. I like Dame. He knocked out my Thunder 1 year on a buzzer beater, which was really, really sad. Yeah, it was very good. Very good shot. No, they always do well in the playoffs, though. It always seems like they always almost win the first round series. Last year they played the Lakers in the bubble. That didn't go well. But, no, I like Portland. That was a good question. One team that's disappointing, I'll just touch on really quickly, is Dallas Mavericks have been horrible. Doncic is unreal player. They just can't figure it out for some reason. I thought this year they would be taking that step, but they're just not good this year.
You thought the Porzingis piece would work better than it is. I mean, you see him out there running around, but there's not that chemistry that you would have hoped to have seen when you brought him in.
Yeah, right. And they're sitting at 13-15, just not winning games. And they have Tim Hardaway. They have Trey. They have a good team. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with them. But yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, it's definitely LA teams in Brooklyn for me. So, yep.
All right, well, let's wrap this up here. College basketball. Three teams from the Big Ten sitting in the top five. Michigan at 3, Ohio State 4, Illinois 5. You got Iowa sitting there at 11. Depending on which poll you're looking at, they're 11 or 14. The poll to me that I know the AP always votes. But whenever I go to ESPN, I always take a lot more consideration in the coaches poll because he's the guys that see it every day.
That's kind of what I think. Everyone takes the AP, you know, when you see like the rankings on TV, which is kind of, I don't know. I do like the coaches more though, but continue. Sorry.
I think that the coaches poll, I love the AP poll because the what we're doing is the AP poll, you know, the average Joe watching the game, but the coaches poll, these are the guys that see it every day. You know, and for the most part, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 looks pretty solid. Houston losing this week. What was that to Wichita State?
Wichita last night. Yeah.
Which that was a big game. So my question for you, Tyler, is let's look at the teams, strictly speaking, in the AP poll, 12-1. Who comes out of this winning the title, 12-1? Okay, because I know that we're probably going to, and I think that it's almost safe to say at this point that we'll see Gonzaga 1 overall, Baylor 2, Michigan, Ohio State. Those are your 4 number 1 overall seeds. If it's not Ohio State, then it's Illinois. Okay, I think that we're pretty much ready to call that there going into March Madness as we wrap up the month of February here. Tyler, which team in the top 12 makes the most noise here come big dance time?
Yeah, I watched Gonzaga last night against St. Mary's, and I did the dumb thing and bet St. Mary's plus 20. They got 20 points. And St. Mary's is usually not
that. That's still stupid.
Gonzaga went up by like 30 at half. They won by like 25. They just like toyed with them. You know, and Gonzaga, like, I hate how people are always like, they don't play good teams. I mean, they have beat this year alone Iowa, Virginia, West Virginia, all top 15 teams. I mean, they're doing what they're doing. And Baylor. Did I say Baylor? They beat Baylor.
Oh, no, let me interrupt you for a second. Baylor. Here's where Gonzaga gets the pass for me. So for those of us that listen to the show that have ever played the NCAA football video game, okay, I think every one of us at one point picked some crappy school and started as the starting quarterback there and tried to win as many games until you could take like a Boise State or a Virginia or something to the national championship game when it was the BCS era, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you had to do that by proving yourself over like 2-3 years in a row, right? Like, you go undefeated 1 year, not making the national championship. Go undefeated again next year. Oh, now you're close. Third year, then you're finally in. Gonzaga's there now, where they've won so many games year after year after year after year after year, and they bring back the same pieces and the same coach, and they look the same. Gonzaga's to the point, for me, that they get that. Like, I know that we're supposed to take a team this year, but no, you get that free pass now, Gonzaga. You've proved it over so much time that... Excuse me, you proved over so much time that you're for real. And I don't care whether you're beating good teams, bad teams, whatever. If Gonzaga's undefeated, put him in.
Yeah, I would. I mean, they made it a couple of years ago, lost to North Carolina in the championship. That was the first time they made it all the way.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, about NCAA football, like, I used to always make E.J. Russell quarterback of Bowling Green State University. Isaac Izumba, go Falcons. That's for my dad there. Who played football, BG. But no, I'd be the starting quarterback at Bowling Green. It took me 3 years of NCAA to make a national championship game. So Gonzaga's there, I think.
Right, right, yeah, for sure. And they will be, no, for a while. But that's
awesome. Did you ever do that video game thing, though?
Oh, 100%.
Who was your team that you made your guy the quarterback of?
Okay, so you would do it for Michigan. But if I had to...
Right, but besides that, Michigan.
Yeah, I would do like... always like a mission, like Central. I would use Central a lot.
There you go, Chips.
There, fire up Chips. Fire up.
There you go.
Always a MAC team, it seemed like. Like just some random MAC team.
There's the same piece of story here, because if you're in a MAC school, you're either in Michigan or Ohio, apparently.
Right, right. but yeah, basketball, I can't wait for March Madness, man. It's going to be crazy this year. I'm glad they figured out a plan. It's all going to be in Indianapolis. I just saw they're going to do limited fans, which is awesome. It's going to just be a gauntlet of – and the thing is, like, games aren't going to be – there's not going to be huge breaks because they're all going to be in Indy. You know, there's no travel days to anywhere. So, like, it's going to be just a couple weeks of madness. So, I'm very excited. Michigan, Ohio State this on Sunday, 3 versus 4 at 1. That's like a basketball thing.
We got to get together for that. Are you working that day?
I might have to work, I think. But we'll call it
with the Rona.
I know. Yeah, good idea. But that's going to be a battle. Ohio State's impressed me a lot this year. I've made a lot of money on them. I think they're a smaller team, but their offense is insane. So it's going to be a great game to watch. Michigan's still on a roll. Won a game against Rutgers last night. That was good to see. A lot of crazy teams this year. It's a weird year.
And I'll say this on the Buckeyes real quick, just because I can speak about them. Since they moved on from Thad Matta, who was a great coach there, took them to 2 consecutive national championship games, I believe, in basketball. Since Thad Matta's moved on, when he was the coach, that we were more size and guard play. Now this team's much, much faster, and I think it's been really nice. You could see over these last three, four, five years, I don't know if five's the right number, but it feels like over the last 3 to 5 years, they've really improved and become this new identity, become this new faster team, better basketball team. I like the way that these Buckeyes play a little bit more than I like the way that the Thad Matta Buckeyes played. I mean, we went up against Florida in the national championship the year and the stud was a guy named Greg Oden, you know, who couldn't hold his body together with duct tape if he wanted to. So he's also LeBron James' father.
yeah.
That's an old joke for some listeners there. But I like the way these Buckeyes are playing. But does a team like a Texas Tech and Oklahoma or even an Iowa sitting at the bottom end of this top 12, do they have the ability to jump and make some noise and make a run at the title?
See, Iowa had a little stretch, and like every Big Ten team does. Like, the schedule is just grueling. Where they lost 3 out of the 4, 4 out of the 5, but now they're back on track. just had a huge win at Wisconsin. They're up there too. They're going to be top 10 after this week. So I think Iowa's a team that could just, they could win it all. They can make the Final Four. Bama, Alabama. It's just all these football schools that are just good at basketball. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. They're ranked eighth. They can score like crazy. They draw, I think they average over 80 points. West Virginia is another
team. Alabama's been a team that's been sitting down there for a little bit, though, that's finally kind of made that leap to where they look like they've been wanting to go.
Right. And then, like, a Florida State, they just killed Virginia by, like, 30 points at home. So there's so many good teams this year that the bracket's just going to be unreal. It's going to be so hard to pick, you know. And I've been watching college basketball. We're watching South Alabama, App State right now because I have a little wager on this game.
Because you made us turn this on. I definitely didn't choose this game.
And one, I've been watching a lot of basketball, and I think I'm going to know what I'm doing for these brackets. I'm just not. It's just that hard this year. Just like I said earlier in a different pod, no blue bloods. There's Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas is not even ranked, I don't think. Kansas is now. They're 15-7 though. You know what I mean? Like Loyola Chicago's ranked. Come on. Just all these crazy teams and it's just
makes What was that lady's name? Sister what?
Oh my god. Jude or sister one sec.
Sister Mary, I wanted to say, but it's not that, but
Michigan knocked her out.
Yeah, but that was the team that Loyola made that
Sister
great
Jean.
Run.
Sister Jean.
Sister Jean.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I remember watching Michigan
beat. She better be there this year.
Yeah. But, just crazy year for college basketball. This is what it's all about. That's one thing compared to football where college basketball is just so random every year, you know? I mean, pretty much though. Okay, this year though, like Gonzaga Baylor are going to make a run. Like that's given. But then there's still like all these other teams we talked about, you know? Football, it's hard to get some parity in there. Yeah, I'm very excited. So I'm excited for the conference tournaments too. Those are always a good time, good 5-day stretch there. So,
yeah. Well, that's this year. I think the conference tournaments, like, yeah, they're fun to watch, but this year I think we're pretty set as to what our dance is going to look like as far as the top half goes. Obviously, those other teams
always the bubble, always the bubble. But
I want to ask you one thing before we wrap up here. You had mentioned the format for March Madness this year, and that everything's going to be done in the Indianapolis area. That one was not easy to say.
Indianapolis
area. You've done more research on this than I have. College basketball is more your thing than mine. I am more of a casual fan than I am with my statistics and knowledge when it comes to like baseball or football or whatever. Tyler, what's the format going to look like for college basketball this year?
All right. Yeah. So like I said, it's all going to be in Indy. There's about, I want to say 5 different gyms. So like you got
Lucas. So we will see multiple games going at the same time.
Oh yeah, it's going to be just like they're going to use Indiana, Purdue, Ball State, Indiana State. Like colleges like that everywhere around Indianapolis and then obviously Lucas Oil for the Final Four, probably the Elite Eight too. But it's definitely a little different this year. Like I said, the games aren't going to give me a spread out, I believe. It starts Thursday, March 18th. No, actually, I didn't think it started on Thursday. I believe it starts on a Friday. Okay, the first four is on Thursday. Usually the tournament starts on Thursday, you know, but it's on a Friday, so it's a little pushed back. It's going to be awesome. All Indy, it's a basketball town. I want to go down there. I think that'd be a great time. The COVID's kind of restricting everything, obviously, but they are allowing fans. I'm sure those tickets are. Imagine going to Assembly Hall.
I might be able to go.
It's Assembly Hall, Indiana, like that gym for a March Madness game. Like imagine, I wouldn't mind them doing something like this when it's everything's normal.
One of those smaller, intimate gyms.
You know how awesome that'd be? Well, they're going to be at like Ball State. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's like a max school. Like,
well, that'd be a lot of fun if you could pack the house.
That's what I'm saying. In a normal year.
I don't know. Yeah, right.
If we could do a normal year at like a smaller school, like the cool venue is like, you know, like Duke, you know, it would be awesome, but they would never do that because of money and tickets and sales and whatever. But it's going to be really cool to see. I'm excited to just watch it, you know, like it's going to be a different viewing experience, like not a huge like arena like they always are. Championship game on April 5th, Monday at 9. Michigan will be in that. gonna take work off for that. I also love how they always do it a Monday at like 9. So late, and it's on a Monday. It just, why not, hey? But, yeah.
Well, there's no Monday Night Football. Might as well fill it with something.
Yes.
Can't make it like 6, but no.
I'm very excited for March Madness. It's going to be a great year this year. For sure.
So that's about, close to an hour when we were trying to do it.
Stretch it up a little.
So much for doing a quick show, eh?
This is good. We've done an hour and a half before, so.
Well, the best show that we ever did was one that never aired, and that was that basketball episode with Butch. We did,
right.
What was it, close to 2 hours, and fans, listeners, you guys are missing out. Butch laid down some great tape. Tyler did a fantastic job talking basketball with Butch. I kind of just sat back and let the two Wizards do their make their magic on air. It was an absolutely fantastic episode. I think we were at like an hour 45, hour 50 minutes. We were closing on 2 hours. And then we realized the tape's gone. And it was just a tragic recording error. And it's one of those things that you can't redo. And we never did. We wanted to try. We thought somebody else might have the tape. They didn't have it. Just terrible tech issues. But we're here. We finished up this episode. Tyler, you got anything that you want to touch on before we sign off here? I know we got a couple other things going on in the sporting world. The big noise in tennis was Serena Williams losing.
She might be done, I heard. I don't know. That, I don't really know her details on that, but heard she might
Well,
be
I
done.
Think what was upsetting was, so she, who is, in my opinion, the greatest women's tennis player of all time, obviously. She did this kind of wave and kiss and touch the heart, but she's always been one of those girls that's the kiss, the wave, the spin, like she kind of has that post-match ritual, whether win or lose, that, she's always done those kind of things, and I think to invite those questions in a press conference, I actually thought that was almost inappropriate because she is so good. She can walk into any match at any time and beat anyone in the world whenever she wants to. I don't care how old she is. So I didn't like that. The question's there for her, but besides Serena Williams, you got anything else you want to touch on? I want to mention that real quick.
No, yeah, that's Australian Open. I've been seeing that. I haven't been on that. I've been very tempted to, but I just don't know anything about.
For our other listeners, I know we normally do like football, baseball, basketball, but yeah, we watch tennis too.
Yeah, I've watched it.
We can talk pro bowling. What do you want? We're here. We can
cornhole.
Do it.
I've watched cornhole, like the college championships.
You're a cornhole.
It should be called beanbags. Let's just say that right now. But
well, that no. I'm from Ohio, baby. We call it cornhole.
It's beanbags, man. It's beanbags. But
you just want to touch some bags, don't you?
Yeah. But So sports. A lot of good basketball. Saturdays are the day. They used to be college football. They load Saturdays up with college basketball games. Always a good time. Football's done. Sad, but moving on to March Madness. NBA, baseball. Hey, spring training.
Spring training. Pitches and catches.
They
report.
Reported today. Yeah, that's big. That's big time. Really excited for that. Padres are looking really good this year.
Max Scherzer. A little bit of news today. Max Scherzer, ankle injury. Doing some running.
Really.
Pitcher's supposed to be anything. A minor injury. But yeah, he sprained his ankle doing some running. It sounds like. It might have been a little foul pole, just jogging, but sprained his ankle. Max Scherzer out for a few weeks.
But yeah, we'll do a baseball preview. There's been so many moves this offseason. It's been insane. We talked about Lindor and stuff, but yeah, I'm a big baseball guy as well. So I'm very excited for that and March Madness. So a lot of sports coming.
And I want to say this, okay? Normally, under normal circumstances, I don't team hop, but I'm going to be a Mets fan this year. I like Lindor. He is that kind of player for me that I will follow him. I will watch Mets games this year just for him. And Cookie Carrasco. Come on, baby. Guy got through some cancer stuff and is playing in a big still.
I'm Padre guy this year. We can do that.
Cleveland. Oh, and did you see? I bought a new flag for the man cave down here. I bought a 1978 Cleveland Indians logo. It's the retro Wahoo on
how much
the baseball.
You have to pay for that. It's probably you could probably sell that pretty soon for a lot of money.
I bought it just. I was doing some shopping at Amazon. I was actually, and I'll give a free plug here. I was buying some Dr. Squatch soap. I thought the commercials were funny, and I liked that pine tar one. Sounded pretty good. Dulp Tyler's getting fired up for basketball.
South Alabama Jaguars.
But, no, I was doing some shopping online and I saw this flag and it popped up. It was like $20. And I said, you know what? How long can I buy anything that says Cleveland Indians? So I went out. Yeah. I spent $20 on that flag and, she's hanging up proudly in the house. So now I got my Indians, my Browns, my Buckeyes. I need to get a Cavaliers wins next. Just to, I think, complete the set. Maybe a Bowling Green one too, but, yeah, that's going to wrap up this week's episode. Tyler Ouellette, thank you so much for joining us. He is Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E. Tyler Ouellette, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
This show is sponsored by Moe's Pub in Escanaba, 24 TVs, multiple local craft beers on tap, best place to catch a game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba, open at 25% capacity for in-person dining, finally. Check them out. That's Moe's Pub in Escanaba. This show also is sponsored by So Right. That's PSO-RITE.com. That's So-Right.com. Use code GEM10 to get an additional 10% off of your order. Thank you so much for being here. Again, I am EJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
And we'll catch y'all next week. We will see you.